Imagine, if you will, sitting down to your morning coffee, turning on your home computer to read the day's newspaper. Well, it's not as far-fetched as it may seem. In fact, both local San Francisco papers are investing a lot of money to try and get the service just like that started. Science editor Steve Newman reports on one person already using the brand new system.
17 stories up in his fashionable North Beach apartment, Richard Halloran is calling a local number that will connect him with a computer in Columbus, Ohio. Meanwhile, across town in this less-than-fashionable cubbyhole at the San Francisco Examiner, these editors are programming today's copy of the paper into that same Ohio computer. When the telephone connection between these two terminals is made, the newest form of electronic journalism lights up Mr. Halloran's television with just about everything the Examiner prints in its regular edition. That is, with the exception of pictures, ads, and the comics. This is only the first step in newspapers by computer. Engineers now predict the day will come when we get all our newspapers and magazines by home computer, but that's a few years off. Steve Newman, U Center 4.
Well, it takes over 2 hours to receive the entire text of the newspaper over the phone, and with an hourly use charge of $5, the new telepaper won't be much competition for the 20-cent street edition.
All right, everyone, it is a bright, beautiful, sunny day, and I am Tony Wolf, and we are back in the Action Room, the world's only 24/7 streaming radio geek culture network. And I, as I said, am Tony Wolf, and I've got my compatriots here.
That's right. I'm joining Tony. My name's Jessica.
And I'm producer Mike.
Woohoo! All right.
Ow!
So with the merry band of the three of us, as always, we will be taking you through the world of pop culture, geek culture, and let's see what we've got on the list for today. So lots of big summer movies. Summer 2009. The heat is sweltering and the movies are hot.
And like most geeks, we like to spend that time, those beautiful days, in a closed
indoors.
Off, yeah,
that's right.
Dark theater with many other smelly nerds.
Isolated but, from the outside world.
The sun!
Yeah, we're all vampires at heart. Do vampires have a heart?
They have they hearts that have stopped. They're undead.
Don't you have to stab them in the heart?
Yeah,
that's
what
the
is
way
that
to
all
kill
about?
Them.
Yes.
But they
them.
Must be, like, living on some level if you they die because of that.
So they have a heart, but it's like a zombie heart.
It's not beating, because...
Or it beats really slowly.
Well, now, what is the difference
We're
between...
so fast that it's undetectable by the human ear.
It's almost like a hummingbird's wings.
Or like a dog whistle. It's so high. No, but what is the difference between the zombie and the vampire, the undead and the living dead? What...
Zombies are usually
Zombies
are more bereft of free will. Zombies are kind of more like hollow shells of just, you know, carrying out programming or eating brains or something.
And nicely put.
And vampires, you know, they're individuals.
But now and even that's changed. You know, like the zombie used to be slow and lumbering, and
right.
Now it's fast and. You know,
was that in the last Dawn of the Dead remake? They were fast.
I think so. Along, you know, I think that's the thing that started that was the 28 Days Later movie and stuff like that.
Ah, yes.
But now, what do you agree with that? Like, do you think there should be some kind of parameters within how a zombie should function?
Well,
like,
I think it's really an evolution of the zombie, because in the past they were slow and lumbering, and it just made them too easy to avoid.
But that's how I think of them. They're like an army. They're all doing the same thing.
Right.
They're dragging their leg with green ooze coming out of their mouth.
They shouldn't run fast. That was the scariness. That
it's a
no
rule
matter,
of zombies.
No matter how slow they were, they would always catch up with you somehow. And, you know, like...
like, every time you turn around, they're right there.
Yeah,
right.
But they're,
right.
like, the tortoise.
Well, it's like, almost... It's more scary if they're just, like, consistently coming after you. Even if it's slow, it's very suspenseful because they just don't stop.
And I have to say...
Unrelenting.
In 28 Days Later, when they were just running, that
right.
was pretty scary. Because you'd just be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, you know... But I don't know. Yeah, ultimately, I think they have to stick with the slow thing. They
but
should
I
go
think,
back to
you
that.
Know, in the evolution of zombie cinema, you have to account for the fact that they, you know, directors wanted to take those zombies to new and interesting places.
Right.
To surprise you, the viewer.
Will you school me? What was, like, the evolution of zombie? What is the first zombie like? Why is that the slow, slumbering
yeah,
idiot?
Yeah, it was Dawn of the Dead, the
well,
first Dawn
Night
of the
of
Dead.
The Living Dead.
Night of the
Night
Living
of the
Dead.
Living
and
Dead.
I guess that is, was that the first time they ever did the concept of a zombie? Could that be
Maybe.
Possible?
Yeah.
Wow,
I mean,
really?
In lesser films, I guess. And that also introduced...
No, you know the first zombie-ish thing is, what are you picking out of your
I'm
ear?
Sorry, I just got my hair done, and there's hair dye in my
ear.
There's
hair in her ear.
It's brown. It's
Ew.
Delicious.
It matches
goo.
Your hair,
Yes,
though,
taste
so.
It, Jessica.
I'm not going to taste it. It's probably toxic.
Yeah, I have to be honest. Your hair looks exactly the same
I
as
know!
I have.
I
was just saying that. Jessica and I both, I got a haircut, which for a man is radically different than a woman getting her hair done.
Right, right.
But
it
looks fantastic.
I got a hair did. It looks the same.
And it was 3 hours, you said?
What is
3 hours and $175.
And did they put like those metal shiny sheets on
Actually,
you?
Actually, no. She Tin just foil? Painted my hair and then wrapped it in saran wrap. Like, old chicken.
But now, what's the
chicken wire?
Like an old chicken?
Chicken
like,
poop
like
wire?
Like leftover dinner.
Oh, okay. But what's the premise?
Like a TV dinner,
what,
basically.
What did you hope to change? What was it before? And we needed a before
okay,
and
okay.
After.
The before is the top of the head is darker because the highlights have grown out.
Oh. Mm.
Highlights.
That was the best collective.
Yeah.
It was mixed with a... I get it. Slash, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't. But no,
right, so it's about keeping the highlights
it's
updated.
Upkeep.
Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's still pretty dark at the top
I
of the
know,
hair.
I know. Because she was like, "I'm gonna do it so that when it grows out, you can wait longer in between." So it's
there's bits of red there, though. You know. All right.
God,
well,
it's like
damn it.
The question is, do zombies get highlights?
To get highlights
updated
ooh,
in their
green
hair.
Well, one
blue.
Thing about zombies is, since they're dead, they never probably have to get new highlights because they never grow new hair. Probably.
I don't
or
think they're
it could
big
be like
on
the fingernail, and it just still keeps. Growing.
Oh, it still keeps growing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they're big on grooming. Typically, zombies?
Probably not. That could be a new evolution to the zombie.
It could be like the gay zombie or
right.
the very fashion.
Zombies don't
zombie.
Even talk. Right.
Sometimes they do. In Night of the Living Dead, they did.
Did they a little
They
bit?
Would say, I want to eat your brains quite often.
Oh,
that's
right.
Much what they did.
Why would that be the one thing? Well, I guess they were pretty direct about what
one
they wanted.
One thing I always remember from seeing Night of the Living Dead in high school with a bunch of buddies, what was it? The girl is still alive, and her boyfriend gets killed. That was the other thing. You get bitten by a zombie, you become a zombie.
Right.
So he gets bitten, he becomes a zombie. But they're still boyfriend and girlfriend, and they still love each other. And he was trying to resist his urge to eat her brains.
Right.
And he said at one point, I love you. That's why you have to let me eat your brains. And she was like, well, I want to love you, and I want to let you do these things, but I don't want
to
die.
Now, it seems like, but you have to, for the most part, though, zombies, you do have to stay within a certain kind of lore or something. With vampires, it seems like they've changed it up so many times. Like,
well,
some people, I mean, you still mainly
there
stay.
There are still certain benchmarks you got to hit.
For instance, I saw Twilight. And
woohoo, shout out.
They were kind of in a horrible
Producer Mike,
movie.
I think is
horrible
only...
Did you see it?
Did you see it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm the only one who didn't see it.
Wow.
And read all four books.
No, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea you were a big Twilight
it's
fan.
It's chick crack.
It is total chick crack.
Now, right. I heard that the woman who
vampire heaven
created it is like kind of religious and it's promoting abstinence. That's why there's like
it
no
is
sex.
Not. And there is. Wait till book four.
Oh, really?
When... They have to gnaw out the baby of her, out of her stomach.
Wow.
Because, like, she has sex with the vampire, and she's human, so she has, like...
Spoiler.
She has sex with the lead
Spoiler
guy.
Spoiler alert.
With the lead guy?
Yeah.
Wow.
But hold on. So I saw... So
four
you like,
book buildup.
You obviously like the books.
Smack it down.
You like the books, but you didn't like the movie.
Loved the books. The movie was just really, like... abstract, you know.
It was just
like
them. It's like
any,
a CW
like, series where there's so much history, and then they make it into a movie.
Right.
They just chop it all out.
Are you trying to say that the book was better than the movie? I've never heard that before.
Even though it was horribly written, there was like still typos and like
I
grammar
heard that.
Mistakes.
There's
oh, wow.
typos in the book. How's that even? Now
you don't
editors.
Care though. You don't care.
But now I heard that there's another series that's kind of huge. That's going to be a movie too.
The Wolverine.
The House or something.
Oh
it's
no!
It's a daughter and mother who wrote it. I don't
oh, really?
Know.
I
it's a vampire
that.
House of
vampire.
Green Gables.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
18th
that's
century.
It. It's like a romance kind of thing. Fabio with teeth is on the cover
right.
of all the... no, but I mean... But in this Twilight, he can like stand in light, right? In the sunlight. Like, that's not
I mean,
normal.
Do they explain that? Do
yeah,
they address it?
He can't stand in light in front of people because he does... In front of humans because he looks different. But he doesn't die like folklore tells us. He just shines like this,
right,
like
right.
diamond.
A glow.
He just yeah. shines.
He shines like diamonds.
He needs
know,
a little powder.
Yeah, yeah. He's just fierce in the light.
There's werewolves. There's a whole werewolf faction.
The lycans, right? Or no, that's Underworld.
That's Underworld. Oh, vampires versus werewolves.
But I hear there's like a new series coming out about werewolves, and that's the new thing.
Well, speaking of new moon is the new Twilight movie based on the second book.
Which is the second book, right.
Which I haven't seen the trailer for, and I just have no interest
it's
in
suck.
It. Yeah, it looks pretty bad. But the guy who I heard he signed a contract. Whoever the guy is who's the main
Robert Patterson.
But what's
Pattinson.
The character?
Edward.
I heard Edward. He has contracted to play Edward forever. Like
as he should. The boy's not going to get anything else.
Well, he did this movie. Did you see?
He was Cedric
in the fourth Harry Potter
movie. Yeah.
But no, he just did a movie about a historical figure. Like
oh yes,
who's that painter? Salvador Dali.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
He plays.
As a younger person.
Wow. Yeah.
I forget
what
he's trying
called. To branch out.
Look, he can do as much as he wants, but the thing is, he's.
Thank you for allowing him. To
as long as I get a percentage.
It's like Christopher Reeve. He's
going to come back to that.
Right. Well, at least a lot of people leave, and they think they're better than that. He doesn't think he's better than a bad movie.
Well, the lead guy from Harry Potter, too, Daniel Radcliffe, has gone on and done indie films, and he's done theater. And
showing
and
his penis.
Good. He's showing his penis. I saw it.
You
saw
his cock?
I saw it.
What was
How
that
was
play
it?
Like?
Not it the
was,
play, his it penis.
Yeah, it was fine. He was really good in the play.
Was he circumcised?
You looked. Come on.
What do you mean you have to be able to tell? He's British.
Yes,
I don't know what they do over there.
How long is he actually standing there naked? Like what?
It was about 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
Now, would you do that, Tony? Would you be in a play?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow. Would you?
If it was if it was tastefully done, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Really naked.
I mean,
would you do a play
totally
with
depends.
Tony?
Hell yeah. That's easy.
There was something I was up for 2 years ago that would have required a little full frontal nudity, but it was a comedy and a lot of gay characters, and I was like, okay, whatever, yeah, you know.
It has to be done tastefully. I've had friends like have to simulate oral sex during plays, and it's just raunchy, and it's like, no.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You have to be confident with what you got, that's for sure.
and think about baseball.
Right. Well, with the gay guys, it probably wouldn't be hard. But you don't want anything tasteful with gay guys and nudity. I don't know.
No, it has to be very non-tasteful.
Oh, my
Tasteless,
goodness.
I guess.
Well, let's finish talking about these movies.
All right, so summer movies. We'll look ahead to New Moon whenever it comes out in 2010.
We'll trash talk it in a month.
That actually is a good segue. New Moon. There's a moon... There's another movie coming out with
upcoming
Sam Rockwell,
film,
which I realized was I had looked at the director, the guy who did it. I don't think he wrote it, but he had only done a short film. I saw an IMDb, and I was like,
I remember
to do this
producer
feature?
Mike was like, "How do you do a short and then suddenly get a huge, major, big budget?"
And what
film?
I realized is he's David Bowie's son.
But
now he's. Did I write this down?
Duncan Jones.
Yeah, Duncan Jones. You got that.
But I think you also said
Duncan
that
Jones he has David Bowie's son.
He has another name, like that the Bowies might have.
I
want to
say David
by.
Jones might be David Bowie's original name. I might be wrong about that,
okay.
But I think that's right. So, Moon looks awesome. Sam Rockwell is a really kind of somewhat underrated, incredible actor.
He's fantastic. Yeah,
and this film looks awesome. Speaking of space movies, though. Star Trek
was really fun, really fantastic.
I love it.
Really well done. If you're going to do a reboot, recasting all the original, characters with younger actors, this was about as good as it can get.
And I love the fact that, J.J. Abrams wasn't a Star Trek fan, but he basically was probably, I'm assuming, more of a Star Wars fan.
Right.
And kind of used a lot of those elements, like, the planet Hoth, and kind of like...
Yeah.
Now, for me, I was talking with Tony about this, like, the Han Solo-Luke Skywalker relationship was with the Bones and Kirk.
Chris
Pine is the guy, right? And, I don't know. I just kind of like the humor, the balance of the humor and the drama, which a movie that didn't have that was the new Terminator film, which I thought was pretty horrible.
Yeah, they...
Is that already come and gone? I didn't even about it.
Terminator Salvation is the title. And,
save me from the film.
Yeah, I went in not expecting very much from a new Terminator movie. I kind of thought, why do you need a new Terminator movie? The story is... And this is almost like one of those things where it's almost like the Star Wars prequels. This is just filling in information, but... this is like point C in the story, and we already know D and E and F.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, why are
for
we
the diehard,
like,
man?
This doesn't really take us anywhere.
Well, Jessica's saying for the diehards, I did talk to somebody who actually really liked it,
right,
in the sense of, I guess he's a fan of, right, that series, you know, because there was also a Chronicles.
Yeah, the TV show's doing really well, I think.
Is it? I mean, I never watched it. Got into it.
It's about to get canceled.
But everything's
getting
canceled right now.
Fox also put the,
even good things are
what
getting
about
canceled.
Earl? Or not? What about? What's it called? My name is Earl.
My name is.
And
what about Earl?
What about
Earl?
Him?
It's a fusion of what about Bob?
He's canceled. That's what's up.
Well, no, Fox put the new Terminator show in the Friday Night Death slot, which is where that new Joss Whedon show was also.
Oh, really?
Two sci-fi shows on Friday Night Death.
But now, okay, so Terminator, when this fell under the same problems that I think the Clone Wars did with the Star Wars thing, which was, again, there was no balance between humor and drama. It was just straight one-dimensional drama characters, soldiers, grunting, and it was just bullshit.
Also, like the Clone Wars, it's a prequel type thing. You know where the story goes.
Which I don't mind that. Like, even Star Trek, you kind of know where it's going to go. But I mean,
right, if the getting there is sufficiently entertaining,
I mean,
and well
that's
done.
That's part of all films. It's like you kind of know where they're going to go. But I mean, like, even, okay, another
There's
one.
There's only so many things that you can do these days.
Right.
Formulaic.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think the thing you can always fall back on is good characters, good writing,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Likable people that you want to see again. I didn't want to see these Terminator people again. You know, it's like, I don't care about them.
Christian Bale was fine. I mean, he does his Christian Bale thing, but...
Not to mention, that was a horrible thing for him to go through, that whole outburst.
For
a horrible film. It's like... But then on top of that, the fact that the main crux of the film, which had to do with, you know, this one person realizing he's a Terminator. He didn't know. He thought he was human. That was in the trailer. That
give it
just
away in
revealed
the trailer.
It.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah.
So this whole time I'm watching this character for the first 20 minutes, the big reveal is something I already know.
And that's the Christian Bale character?
No, it's not
no,
even
it's the other
Christian
guy.
Bale. That's
yeah.
the other thing.
Yeah.
Christian
is
Bale
he
was
the
even
hero?
In a lot of it. In some ways.
Sort of,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. But know. The Terminator movie also had a lot of, like... The one thing that was sort of interesting, I think, was... kind of a faded out color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was this sort of color palette of very faded out grays and greens,
right.
military and washed out sort of look. And I was like, well, that's some art direction something.
Yeah, we'll see that. And that's the problem, I think, with films now like these. It's like you can't have a film just have cool moments here and there, because there's been too many now films that purely the whole thing is good. So they, you know, after seeing something like Star Trek, which was so well done, something like Terminator just doesn't work. Also, another thing is some of the best parts of Terminator were just references to the original film.
Yeah.
And it's like...
There is a very weird sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger pseudo-cameo.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's a... you see a prototype Arnold Terminator, but it's not Arnold. Like, they just CGI'd him, or they CGI'd his face on someone. It's very strange.
I don't think he's allowed to do the movies
right
now.
Yeah, I wonder about likenesses. Maybe they own his likeness.
Oh, I'm sure, in the Terminator series.
It almost looked like a mannequin or like a wax museum.
Maybe they use his Madame Tussauds.
There you go.
But, you know, speaking of Arnold, there is talk still of him doing a cameo as the governor of California in that Expendables movie that we've talked about on the show.
Oh, speaking of, I have a little bit of a link here. Okay, so...
We've talked about the Expendables.
The guys who wrote the Terminator movie.
Right.
Okay.
The new one.
Who wrote some other stuff. I even think back in the day they wrote Married with Children or something. Okay.
Okay.
So, Jessica can comment. No, but they wrote some other, like, bad kind of horror films or whatever. And I was excited about the Death Wish relaunch, which was an old Charles Bronson action movie series that Stallone is going to now be the Charles Bronson character.
It was like
Bronson
a Dirty Harry type character.
And I was excited about this. Now that I hear that the Terminator, the people that wrote the Terminator are going to be writing that, I'm not too excited about it. But it could be good still. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead. What else did you see?
Well, also, just one more thing about the Terminator movie. A lot of people commented, and I think, I don't know if you said this, just that it was very loud.
Yeah.
Everything was extremely loud. The one part that I did think was kind of cool, there's this huge robot Terminator, which my friends made fun of. They were like, it's like a Transformer Terminator.
Totally,
like,
why
is there a Transformers? And, but the one kind of cool thing was the thing... It made noise like,
and
I was like, is that the score? Is that music? Or is that the robot? And it was just the robot.
If you can believe this, my girlfriend, we went to see it. She wanted to go because of the noise in the trailer. She loved the noise so much.
Really?
The Terminator noise, whatever. The like, that's a lot of why she wanted to see this movie. And,
oh, that young generation.
But sadly,
like, noise.
Sadly, that was kind of the whole film. Just one big long noise.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And it was so super loud in the Bronx Theater. This
what
one
do
Bronx
you expect?
Theater. Is
oh,
that's
the Bronx
all
Theater. Is this the theater with, like, the projectors all
yeah, yeah.
old?
There's always something unique about the experience. And this time it was
is
super
there a
loud.
Popcorn machine that looks like it's from, like, 1910?
No, they some of the stuff they redid, but the bathrooms are the best part because they're super lavish and huge, and
oh, wow.
You have all these, like, you know, ghetto thugs going in these places that were once probably, you know, high society.
Right,
you know.
Right. But, well, what can you expect from McG?
Right,
that's
McG.
In summation, what are you gonna do?
We kind of say, yeah. But I don't know. Speaking of Transformers, I'm not excited. I think they totally ruined the franchise. I hate Michael Bay.
Wow. Yeah, I kind of have not much interest in the Transformers movie coming out. Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
People are going to go just to see hot Megan Fox.
Yeah, I mean, and even she's out of
and
place.
And she's hot, but she's like trashy hot.
She is
no.
trashy
she doesn't,
hot.
It doesn't last very long, the appreciation of her. You know,
yeah. You just want to do her and kick her out.
Really,
Shia LaBeouf.
You like her highlights, Jesse?
Her highlights took 4 hours.
I do like Shia LaBeouf.
He's fine. He's likable.
I do. I think that that this whole, like, the Transformer designs make them look just like a big mess of metal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't look like any character. Nothing's distinguishable from anything else. And at the point that they're fighting, which was kind of the problem with the Terminator movie, at a point you're just like watching metal crash
right.
into
well,
metal.
Well,
because
it was the designs are sort of non-distinct, and then they did a lot of that jump cutting, super fast jump cutting, and you're like, who's hitting who? What's going on?
It's horrible, man. And
so we here at the Action Room don't care about Transformers 2.
Sorry.
And another 80s kind of movie that they're coming back with.
G.I. Joe.
Which is
long
awaited.
Come on, it's got to be good.
It could be fun.
It
but
could be
who's
better.
From the
slated to be in it?
I don't even know if it's many known. What's his name? Dennis Quaid?
Dennis Quaid is like the venerable leader, but not like a... In the
Duke?
Field.
Oh, yeah. He's
Duke.
Like the good old boy.
Yeah.
Sienna Miller. The big talk is about Sienna Miller as the Baroness.
Get
she's going to be all
her.
Sexy or whatever.
Well, the one thing that everybody wanted to see in a G.I. Joe movie was, I think personally, being a huge G.I. Joe fan back in the day, buying the comic books, watching the cartoon and
Snake
stuff.
Snake Eyes.
With Snake Eyes versus Storm Shadow.
The ninjas.
Yeah.
They're ninjas.
The white versus black ninja. And the few times you're rooting for the black. In the fight, I'm just kidding.
Right. It's not that the black guy, the black clad ninja.
Right.
Not that he is black, but
right.
The black clad ninja is the good guy.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And
you're
Storm not
looking Shadow,
for,
the white ninja
is
the bad guy, right?
Yeah. There is no white hope in this case.
Right.
The
right.
They're brothers, I think, is the storyline.
Yeah.
So
and they ended up on opposite sides of the law.
Exactly.
Wait.
Which was kind of a new concept back then. So.
I was gonna flip the script. Has Drag Me to Hell come out yet?
Oh, yes, and I saw it.
Came out last night.
It's supposed to be...
Okay,
really
Sam Raimi,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
And I love Sam Raimi. Evil Dead movies. Of course, the Spider-Man movies
right,
and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's hopefully, it's what you expect. And I actually think a lot of people are expecting it to be pretty weird and stuff. So it's not... I think initially when I heard of it, I was like, what is this, some teen
right.
horror movie? But then I heard it was Raimi, so I wanted to see it. It's very different. It's you know, I don't know. It's... Even for me, somebody who is a fan of Raimi, I don't know if I completely, you know, was into it, but I think after a while, when you appreciate the humor of it, the story he takes you, and it definitely doesn't. I personally didn't think it went the way I thought it would, so that's always good, you know. And
it's like, how do we summarize what the Raiminess is? Like, it's a sort of a quirky, weird, goofy sense of humor mixed with like. Grotesque effects.
Yeah, and he kind of like it's a lot of camera work too that he plays with it.
Right,
you know, it's
right.
The camera becomes a character unto itself. You know,
moving camera.
It's
yeah.
definitely
CGI stuff or not at all.
A little bit, and actually that was kind of annoying about it too. Like I hate, especially bad CGI.
So the premise is that it's Evan Rachel Wood.
No, it's
Alison Lohman.
Oh, Alison
what is
Lohman.
She from?
She's done
Matchstick
Man.
Yeah. When she was
Sam Rockwell,
and she gets dragged to hell.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the premise, is that, you know,
she's
basically cursed to be dragged to hell. You
but
know?
She plays, like, some DMV
Yeah, no, she works for a...
I love the premise. I think it's so...
A loan office of some sort.
Yeah, like, why would that hot chick be working at a loan office?
Yeah, right,
that's
right.
A lot like the Evil Dead movies. The Bruce Campbell character, like, worked at a retail store.
Okay, right, and so...
Very Sam Raimi.
The when it first starts, the kind of absurdity where she's cursed and stuff, right at that point, you know it's a Sam Raimi film, mm-hmm. because of just how grotesque and silly and kind of... over the top it is, and it was in that sense it was fun. And it's also one thing I'll just promote if you want a girlfriend who is young, is that they love everything.
If you want a girlfriend who's young,
if you're you've been thinking about that, you know,
bring her to a Sam Raimi movie.
Bring her to any movie because they're amazed by everything. It's the first time they've seen everything.
You know? Oh my God, are we talking toddler?
Yeah, that can't be the case though. There's got to be something that she's seen that she.
Of course, she's seen something. But I'm just saying she's way more open. Like she hasn't seen Evil Dead, okay? Right. And I'm not saying every girl at that age hasn't seen Evil Dead, but she hasn't, and so I'm just promoting that aspect. They're amazed.
School y'all ladies.
Now, another movie that I did not see, I know Jessica did not see, but I believe producer Mike saw, is the Wolverine movie.
The Wolverine, which I liked it, but, you know.
I've heard so many mediocre things. I kind of wasn't in a hurry to see it anyway, and now that people are like, you know.
I definitely thought it was kind of, but see, I wasn't a huge fan of the X-Men movies, so I kind of... Right.
I think the first two X-Men movies are really pretty strong. The third one is...
See, I'm in the different camp. I actually like the third one better than the other two.
Really? Okay.
Just because I just thought it was more action. It was just funner. Like, the other two were kind of like... They didn't... Like, I always thought they should have focused on Wolverine, you know, and which they couldn't do. It was an X-Men movie.
And the third
movie,
one definitely has more... I remember you and I were discussing this. More battles. It's almost like a video game and that all these... characters get matched up and they battle.
And but then ultimately, Wolverine, I don't know. I thought I kind of dug it. I know that they're going to make a movie out of the Deadpool character that
probably,
Ryan Reynolds played.
It's
and
in
stuff.
Development. Now, let's talk about possibly the best movie out of all these movies that producer Mike and I both saw independently last night, very late. Mm-hmm. The new Pixar movie, Up.
Yes.
Now, Pixar.
I both saw that last night.
Pixar can do no wrong. I was saying that,
Mike's
pulling out his
3D
glasses.
Nice! Those are so cool!
I have often said that there's several things in the entertainment industry that can do no wrong. Mm. People and entities. Mm. Pixar can do no wrong. Gene Hackman can do no wrong. Patrick Stewart can do no wrong. And I was saying this to someone last night, and I was like, I think that's it. And they were like, well, what about Liam Neeson? Would you put him on that list? Can do no wrong? I was like... Yeah, I'll put him on there. And someone was like, Ian McKellen can do no wrong. But Pixar really has never produced a bad movie. Some people think Cars is a little weak.
I love Cars.
But I think Cars is terrific. Yeah. It may be weaker compared to their other movies.
I think the one that was considered the weakest possibly was the fish one.
Finding Nemo?
Finding Nemo, yeah.
No, that was huge.
That was a huge hit.
I saw
it
like
huge,
10 times.
But I mean, I don't know. I thought
Monsters,
at the time.
Inc. sometimes gets talked about as like a sleeper.
We're picking them all. Right. Toy Story sometimes. Right. Is, no.
And that was great.
But, no, that was great.
WALL-E, totally amazing. Yeah. Ratatouille, absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And last night, Up. You've probably seen the ads. There's a house that gets carried away by many, many balloons.
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't, like, totally enthused by the trailer, but it was Pixar, so I knew it was going to be good.
Yeah.
But, it had so much more than just a guy in a house. Like, it was great. It was awesome.
Who's the main voices? Who does?
Who are the main voices?
Ed Asner.
Right. Exactly,
is the old guy.
Good.
And he's fantastic.
And Patton Oswalt, was he? I think he was one of the dogs. Which is
crazy.
They
always use him, don't they?
Well, he was the rat.
He was
the Ratatouille.
And then who's the one guy that is in every Pixar film?
Oh, Ratzenberger.
Cliff from Cheers.
John Ratzenberger, who played Cliff on Cheers.
And he played, I don't know if he played more than one person in this film, but he played the guy who...
The construction worker.
The construction worker, right.
Because at first they want to take over his house, they want to demolish his house.
Right.
But really, in Up, so fantastic, such a... WALL-E had, like, the romance, but this was also, like, a deep sentimentality about this marriage, and it's probably the first movie in a long time that has an elderly person as the lead.
Exactly, yeah.
And they humanize him and make him not just some old person by showing you, like, his life that led up to that point.
And what I love is... go ahead.
Would kids be into it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally, yeah. No, I mean, what was interesting is, like, you knew some of the devices and the ways they were going to go with this, but the way they went with it, again, like we were talking before, it's like, you know, kind of, but how they do it is just brilliant. I love it. And obviously, the animation is fucking amazing.
And then towards the end of the movie, towards the end of Up, it becomes, like, this other movie. Like, it's almost like a King Kong, 1930s, there's a villain who's... It feels like a 1920s movie serial.
Yeah, well, with the music and stuff, it felt like just those adventure movies you'd see. Like,
yes.
Well, what were kind of some of those along... Is Mad Mad World, stuff like that? Or what was something that, like, where they like a balloon movie where they're like, are there movies? I can't think of anything from the 60s almost.
I haven't even seen Treasure of the Sierra Madre, but it feels like that
sort of thing.
Or like a balloon around the world in 80 days.
Maybe
that's what I'm thinking of. But this whole like King Kong, adventure.
Well, King Kong, I'm thinking more like that's serious, but that upbeat feel like,
Up. Kind of a goofy caper. I was saying to producer Mike and to some other people, in the middle of Up, it gets a little crazy. Because there's talking dogs where their owner has engineered a collar that allows them to talk. Mm. But there's like 87 dogs and they all talk and they all have voices.
God.
And it's just very surreal. There are these talking dogs and then there's a
What do the dogs say?
They're like, they talk like dogs.
They talk like dogs, which is funny. Like,
Hi,
I'm out there. You know, like,
I will get
funny.
The bird. I will get the bird. And then there's a running joke where they go, squirrel!
And
they just stop what they're thinking and they obsess about a squirrel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cute. That's like in Finding Nemo when the pigeons go, mine.
Yeah.
Mine.
No, that's also in Toy Story, the little aliens.
When they're
all like, what are they?
But when the talking dogs come, and then there's this giant multicolored bird that's like a huge, looks like an ostrich or some, it got very surreal, and I found myself going, this is almost feels like an improv sketch, where like people are just throwing out crazy fucking ideas, and it's just like insane, but it works also. It feels very experimental.
And which is a testament to how great they are, is that it doesn't, you don't get confused, it doesn't break down, the story is intact, even with doing all those crazy things, and they make it work. So.
And also, Up also addresses, like, in a vague way, like, the kid you find out is, like, from a divorced family. There's, like, a darkness, like, the elderly guy's wife dies. And
well, don't
it's
tell
about
everything.
How he
goes, okay, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's just, it deals with some darker things about people and humanity.
But they do it in a very sweet way.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a break.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with more pop culture discussion here at the Action Movie. Action Room. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Jessica.
And that song we heard, by the way, is the not the Black Kids. It's Black Kids. It's called "Look at Me When I Rock with You." And
is it TCH?
What the fuck is that?
What
spelling? The spelling of "with you."
Oh yeah, WICHOO.
Oh, one word.
With you.
With you. But what I love about their video there is like it references like, you know, old 80s cartoons like Thundercats and Silverhawks, but also like obscure ones like Bionic Six and Pole Position. So it's like, but what the funniest thing, I saw an interview with them and it's like they don't even know what the video was about. Like they don't know that it references, or seemingly they didn't even know because they had a production company obviously do it for them, you know.
Okay.
And so it's basically, and even in the reference of it, like in the interviewer saying, this new space age video you have. They don't even reference that it's 80s video. You know, it's like, it's crazy. But anyway, yeah, they're a good band to check out. And so anyway.
Okay, also in geek culture news, entertainment media news, many of you may remember years ago, in fact, in 2001, when Time Warner merged with AOL, creating what was then one of the largest entertainment media conglomerates in the world, in history.
That was one of the first big, where, you know, now it's kind of commonplace for conglomerates to merge, right. But at that time, yeah.
And I remember when Time Warner and AOL did merge, they came out with a new logo that was based on the Egyptian symbol for the Eye of Horus. Because Horus was like the god of communication, or like the young upstart god who was going to shake things up.
Right, right, right.
So
now they're a big yawn.
Yeah. Time Warner AOL is now splitting up, the news just hit. And Time Warner is letting AOL go because AOL...
It's just not working out, AOL.
Yeah, because AOL does nothing. Like, what does AOL really do?
I was just going to say, like, back in the day, I was on it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you chat or whatever. Does anyone use AOL?
Everyone used AOL in the day. That was all there was.
Right. The first real internet provider. And they sent out those...
You've got mail.
CD-ROMs in the mail for free.
Yeah, so yeah, I remember that.
But now, I don't know many people who have AOL. They
still use IM.
AOL Instant Messenger.
Right. Exactly.
But
right.
Now you can use, like, what's it called? Trillion and all these things,
right,
that, like, combine... Meebo. What is it?
Meebo is an instant messenger platform.
Well, yeah, so because I know that, like, I have different friends that go on different IM services, so now it just can all be combined. But in Gmail and GChat will now do it for you, so I have no reason to ever leave
Gmail.
Wow. Wow.
Even if people are using AOL IM, they don't make any money off that.
Right, right,
But they do through advertising.
Advertising, maybe they make some,
right.
Yeah.
Well,
but they definitely don't make as much as they used to. I mean,
right. Well, the news story was saying that Time Warner, you know, they have movies and books and TV shows and music. They have so many things to make money on.
They don't need it.
Whereas AOL has, like, some advertising and a couple websites that might get some traffic. So,
yeah.
So,
well, speaking of Google, though, you had mentioned you saw the phone.
Oh, yeah. I was coming into producer Mike's building, and downstairs the doorman in the very fancy lobby were like, I overheard them talking, and it looked like they had an iPhone or something. And I heard really crisp, crystal clear reception. It sounded like a news TV show. So I said, I poked my head over, and I said, hey, what is that? And they said, oh, that's the new Google phone, which we've heard about. Google was going to come out with its own version of an iPhone. It was a little smaller than the iPhone. Beautiful screen, like the resolution and the clarity was just amazing. And he was like, yeah, it's got GPS, it's got this, it's got that, and...
I wonder.
I was like, well, that's pretty. And it seemed to have a T-Mobile
touch
as a provider.
Screen?
I don't know, but I guess so.
Speaking of new technology, I did see somebody with a what's the reading thing?
Oh, the Kindle.
The
Kindle. Yeah,
the Kindle 2 has now come out.
Right.
I want one of those. I think they're great.
How much is it though?
They're expensive. Like, they're like $300 or $400.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then you also have to pay like a fee, right? A monthly.
Do you?
Well,
I don't know.
Download.
You have to buy per book.
It's almost like the Kindle itself has like a wireless thing within it, so you can just download
books. Papers.
Maybe
and stuff
that's
like that.
The fee. A small
the most
fee
hysterical to... clip I saw recently because I filmed a corporate event that had to do with you know, media and where it's all going and stuff. It's all that stuff I talk about, but it was done in a very, you know, intelligent way, as opposed to when I do it. And the one of the early things that they showed, and maybe we'll play a clip from it, was a YouTube clip from 1981. Of a news footage of a piece they were doing about the first online newspaper. And this is at the time when they had like the green text and they had no images, and they said this paper doesn't have any ads or cartoons or images because at that time they couldn't do it. So, but the funniest thing about it was that at the end of the story they're like, you know, well, you know, this might replace newspapers, but that's a few years off. And then they were saying, like, it takes 2 hours to download the paper, you know, because they had to do it through the modem where you put the phone on that platform thing, the receiver, the rotary phone on. It was just ridiculous. But it was interesting to see even back then they were attempting those kinds of things. And, you know, now with the Kindle and stuff, I mean, I'd like to get it, but I don't know if they're going to, like, advance the technology so much that it's not worth getting something
like
that.
I think,
like
in New York City and places where you're commuting, it's kind of great to have that small thing. Because I know my bag gets so heavy when I have these huge books, and
exactly.
I always want to be reading something on the train. But it would never replace, like, my books because they smell
Yeah.
You can't have that smell in a Kindle.
I think, feel kind of resistant to the Kindle just because it is this, you know, it's going to phase out books to a large degree.
It won't, though. It really won't. People want to own books.
Maybe in people's homes they'll have books.
You're
going to
be surprised because think of the 8-year-old kids who are used to these small screens. That's all they know.
How do they do it? But don't you like, I know with me and my friends, we're always trading books.
Yeah.
So like, that
trading Kindles, man.
You're gonna $400 machine.
You're gonna they'll be cheaper back then, and you'll bump each other.
Oh, you'll just beam each other the book. Hey, you want Twilight 4? I'll trade you for.
Back then,
Werewolf.
No, it'll be a new series called
Also, there was that news story where, in terms of newspapers, the Boston Globe was about to go under and become all digital and stop its print division, and some other papers were about to as well.
Well, one thing I learned from doing this corporate event was that, like in the case of newspapers, something that they were never able to do with newspapers, which they can now that they're online or if they start going in that direction, is focus on the advertising for the particular consumer. You know what I mean? They would never be able to do that before. If you had a Pampers ad, it would be for everybody. Mm-hmm. But now they can just focus on, you know, a Pampers ad for a mother and then do this and that. And they actually make money, you know. Or Tony.
Grandmother.
Tony likes to wear the Pampers.
Yes, I have to.
It's convenient.
You know, I'm commuting so much. I'm running around the city.
I've got my Kindle. I've got my diaper. I'm good for the day.
There aren't a lot of restrooms in New York City that you can just walk
That's
into.
True.
You know.
So I guess. I was just thinking it was interesting as far as like how fast things change with the Time Warner and the AOL and all the social networking sites and stuff. You know, one thing I saw that was funny on Jimmy Kimmel was he had this skit that he did where he was threatening, because they were playing off the idea of all these social networking sites and are you on my this and my that, the Twitter or whatever, and then they started making up ones that, oh, you should totally be on, you know, Blobble and, you know, all these things. And you're not on my Blobble? You have to be on my Blobble, you know. And then they made up more and more. And then he got to a point where he's like, I can't take this anymore. I want to erase all my profiles. And so the guy he talks to, who is the announcer, and he says, oh, no, you don't want to do that. I knew somebody who erased all his profiles. You don't want to go there. And so he gets
like
this big button that comes out of, like, on a wire. It's a totally cheap thing, and it says, erase all my profiles. It's got one function. It's just a button that does that. And he does that, and then all of a sudden, you know, and he starts to sing a song. I have all this time now. What am I going to do with it? You know, and it goes on.
It
ceases to exist.
Total time sucker.
But it's pretty. I love. By the way, I want to just plug Chris Jimmy Fallon because he's amazing. He's very geek, you know, friendly, and he has a lot of. He had Chris Hardwick on, who, if anybody remembers, Singled Out.
That was amazing back in the day.
Who was it? Jenny McCarthy.
That was the start and fall of reality TV.
That wasn't even, though. It was like a game show.
But, I mean, that's the start of, like, getting dates, like The Bachelor and all that.
The dating thing, yeah.
That might have even been before
Newlywed
and stuff like that.
Yeah, Newlywed Game.
Not really, no, because the Singled Out was like nine. Well, maybe it was around the same time. It was like 95.
Kind of pop culture feel.
Yeah.
It, where it's more sexual, less.
But now
innocent.
He's been on G4 a lot, and he's like one of the quickest guys. He's so funny, and he's a great writer, and he's starting a thing called Web Soup, which is by the creators of Soup on the E thing, and they're doing now just for the web content for G4. So he's going to be the kind of. Who I think does it now is the, what's his name? I wrote this down. John McHale. Do you know that guy? He's the host of Soup.
Oh,
the
E great.
Thing.
Yeah.
Before that,
yeah,
it was John
he's
Henson.
Got huge posters up that are like hilarious over on the what's it called? Hell's Kitchen.
Times Square.
Hell's Kitchen. He's like looking like Kevin.
Right.
He's like chest hair.
Well, Chris Hardwick is going to do great. But anyway, I think that'll be awesome. So.
All right, so make sure that you're on our Friendster profile.
And our Blobbles.
And our Blobbles. I'm still on Friendster, actually. I remember when Friendster was the
Friendster,
thing. And I remember when I don't look at Friendster barely ever.
Yes, he does.
But I remember every day. But I remember
Friendster.
What
a retarded name for a social
Napster.
Oh yeah, I guess that's where it all came from. Right,
take a nap.
Yeah.
You download your music.
Oh, the Napster.
What was the sketch on SNL by what's his name? Who was the comedian?
The crony of Adam Sandler.
No, the Deuce Bigelow guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. Do you remember the copy
Schneid
guy?
Man.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. The Tony Meister or whatever. Okay, anyway.
But Time Out New York is, you know, the magazine in New York. It's usually sort of the arbiter of what's cool or whatever. I remember on the cover of Time Out New York, they were like, "Who's on your Friendster?"
It's quick.
Wow.
Those things are a dime a dozen. But
Friendster, MySpace,
Facebook is pretty much the here to stay, but
but that's what we said about MySpace.
I know MySpace thought that was the shit. But
yeah, but Friendster, I'm not Friendster.
Facebook.
Facebook is a lot more user friendly. MySpace is kind of
until the next userer friendly.
Userer friendly.
And I remember there was also an Enemyster. After Friendster, someone came out with an Enemyster.
I'm gonna start that. A user friendly stir. A user friendster.
A user friendster.
Right. Anyway.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening, as always, to the Action Room Pop Culture Network. I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Jessica.
Producer Mike.
And we'll tune in next time. Keep watching and listening.